This is the last shiur, the machshava of this kola. So tonight we're going to learn a little bit about Moshe and the connection to Purim. So the Medrash already tells us in Esther Rabba, Ish Yehudi haya b'shushan habira, Ish melamed shaya Mordechai shakol bedaro kemoshe bedaro. Moshe is also called Ha'ish Moshe Anav Me'od. And he goes on to just highlight some comparisons between Moshe Rabbeinu and Mordechai. So you see there's a strong correlation between those two personalities. But let's hone in on Purim itself, or overall Purim, a different theme of Moshe Rabbeinu's connection to Purim. And that's as follows. The Medrash tells us, a different Medrash in Parsha Kisisa, that Kishamr lo nasnu ish kofar nafsho, and we're told that we have to pay a shkalim for the kofar, the kapara. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, Ribono shalom, mi yuchal lasis kofar nafsho, is a possible person could pay for his own kapara, his own nefesh, if im yavi kol kesef azav shvolim, if you give all the gold and silver in the world, lo yuchal lasis kaparo, you can't pay for one's own kapara. It's what we've done wrong, what we need to give is much greater. So Chakadosh Baruch Hu says, ze yitnu machzeh shekel, that the machzeh shekel somehow will serve as a kapara, and this is referring to a kapara of the cheta ego. That's the idea of cheta ego. What's the connection to cheta ego? So some say because the machlokas of Yehuda Rabbi Nechemi in the Medrash, that one hold because since the cheta ego took place in Chatzos Hayom, so you need a machzeh shekel. The other felt that ze yitnu is ze gematria 12 shrotim minus Levi, and it connects somehow to cheta ego. But that's one pshat of the machzeh shekel, is really for the cheta ego. But the pshat that we're going to go with is what the Gemara tells in Maseches Megillah Daf Yud Gimel, that Amar Reish Lakish says, Golav Yadua, Lefnei Misha Amar, Vayaha Olam, Shasid Haman Lishkal Shkalim Al Yisrael. The Kadosh Baruch Hu, of course, knew Haman eventually would be paying Shkalim to have the rights to kill the Jews. Lefikach Hiktim Shkalim Lishkalav. Therefore, Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted to preempt this, to give Klai Yisrael certain zechus by giving the Shkalim, Machzeh Shekel, was a protection, a defense against what Haman will ultimately do in terms of him giving his shkalim. He was already too late in the game. So that's the focus of the connection between Machzeh Shekel and Purim, and how this this connects to Moshe Rabbeinu. He was the one who collected the shkalim, Machzeh Shekel. So that somehow highlights this connection to Purim. So what does that even mean? So we see that there's another connection between Haman and Mordechai as well, that Mordechai was rather Haman and Moshe. Haman was very excited that the Gorel fell out in Adar, which was the month, of course, that Moshe Rabbeinu died. As the Gemara says, he didn't know that was also the month that Moshe Rabbeinu was born. But there's that, the friction between Moshe and Haman. Haman gave Shkalim, and Moshe collected the Shkalim. So let's dig a bit deeper in Machzeh Shekel. We'll point out, it'll be a short shiur tonight, point out some ideas of the Machzeh Shekel as it relates to Purim, and in particular Purim Katan this year, when there are two Adars. So what does that mean? So we see many, many instances where wherever Amalek's in the picture, there's an idea of chatzi, half. They split everything in half. Happens to be the gematria of Amalek is 240, which is exactly half of the gematria of Shkalim, which is 480. So we see that idea of Amalek is half of Shkalim. They like to divide things. The Pasuk tells us in the last week's parasha that Hashem's name, Hashem's kisei, is split in half. Ki yad al kes ka. The yudhei is split up from the vavhei. So this idea of this division that Amalek makes, this division, the chetzi, that's the idea of Amalek, what they represent. Further, we see in the Megillah itself that when Esther put together the Mishnah with Achashverosh, so what does he say? Vayomar Melech l'Esther b'Mishnah yayin mashi l'aseich v'ina selach. What do you want? Ma'abakashaseich, what's your request? Ad chatzi hamalchus v'seyas. I give you up into Chatzi Malchus again, because whenever you see Amalek, you see everything split in half. Haman was present. That means there's a certain split that's going to take place. You see further this idea of division within Purim itself in the celebrations, that when else do we have a Yontif that's split depending where you live? Forgetting the Yontif Sheni, that's a different Indian, but Yudalit and Tezvav, unwalled cities, walled cities, it's a strange thing, but whenever you see this division, that's always a remez that somehow Amalek is involved in the picture. That's the split between the 14th and the 15th. Moreover, we have, as we learned in the first sugya, that the Kfarim could read as early as Yud Aleph, as early as the 11th of Adar, which just shows a greater division. You have three different locations now, reading through different days. Walled cities, unwalled cities, and the villages. Now, what's really interesting is that the first day that you could possibly read is Yud Aleph, and the last day you could read is Tezvav. So it happens to be that the gematria of Vavhe, the Shem Hashem, is split in Yud-Heh-Vavhe. Yud-Heh on one hand, which is 15. Vavhei, on the other hand, is Gematria 11. So 11 to 15, that's the range in which Purim could be read, 11 to the 15th, highlighting this split of Amalek, dividing between the Shemos Hashem. And then you have a year like this year in Purim Katan and the regular Purim, where the Adar is split into two as well, highlighting even a stronger year of Amalek's presence of Adar Aleph and Adar Beis. And you even have in such a year, where although Purim Katan, we don't have any really hanhagos on Purim Katan that much, in deeper ideas there are, but on the surface in halacha, there's no real halachas of Adar Aleph. But the truth is, when it comes to Yahrtzeit, according to many poskim, Adar Aleph should be when the Yahrtzeit is celebrated. If a person has a Yahrtzeit during Adar, it should be Adar Aleph, and all the halachas of Purim is in Adar Beis. So we see even the halachas get split up such a year, which again is a hint that Amalek is present. So just, it's going to be, I'll just wrap up with this, because on this topic, I wish I had more on this particular Indian, but I'll just wrap up with this last idea. So, Lamaisa, so what does that mean? So whenever you have Amalek, that means there's a split in half. Chatzi this and Chatzi that. And how does one rectify that? What's the tikkun for this? So I believe this is what's clear in the Gemara in Pesachim. The Gemara in Pesachim tells us that there's a big machlokus between Rabbi Eliezer and Yeshua what the avoda should be of yomtiv. How does one keep yomtiv? So Rabbi Eliezer says, "Ein la ladam yomtiv ella o ochel v'shosa o yoshev v'shona." Person's approach should pick a path. Either you should celebrate the yomtiv by eating and drinking all day long, or sitting and learning. It should either be kulo gashmi or kulo ruchmi, one or the other. Rabbi Shua paskins, and this is how we paskin. Rabbi Shua says, chelkeyu, you should divide the day. Chatzi lachila, v'shtia, v'chatzi lebeis medrash. Half the day should be eating and drinking, half the day should be learning and davening, and the Rambam gives greater detail how one should be masada the yom, but it should be chatzi lashem, chatzi lachem. That's the idea. And the Gemara goes on to bring psukim to support the ideas, because one pasuk says atzeres lashem, the other pasuk says atzeres tielachem. So how do you reconcile? So Balzar says, mean the two different tracks. Rabbi Shua says, no, you should really have it kula. You should put them together. You should fuse the two. In general, this is Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Balzar into the Shitasam. This idea, the approach to Avoda, you could see this throughout. That Rabbi Balzar, who was a Talmud of Beis Shammai, was always more kula ruchni. So you can have such an idea of kula ruchni, of just celebrating Yom Tov by sitting and learning. You could have such a thing. And you couldn't imagine putting gashmius in the world of ruchnius. It's either ruchnius or gashmius. But Rabbi Shua is more in the camp of Hillel, where he could see such a connection between the ruchni and gashmi. You could see this trickle down in many, many areas. One example that comes to mind, the Gemara in Chagiga, they have a machlokas based on by Shammai, how the world was created. And Beis Shammai says from Shemayim, and Beis Hillel says from Haaretz, because Beis Shammai was very, very much in their Shemayim, kula ruchni. He couldn't imagine the two coming together, and Beis Hillel was about elevating the Gashmi. And you see that many other cases. Another example, the Mishnah tells us in Maseches Bamitzia, that Shlichas Yad, when it comes to a person who's a shomer, watching over an object, Shlichas Yad, So when a person uses an object that I'm supposed to be watching and not using, by using it anyways, I'm now, the level of responsibility is greater when you shluchas yad. What if I have a machshava to use this item, but I don't actually use it? Beis Shammai says, you're not chayiv, you haven't done anything. Beis Shammai says, you are chayiv, because the machshava is kamaisa. To live in that world, that machshava really means something, is the world of Beis Shammai, and that trickles down to Rabbi Eliezer. Well, Beis Hillel was about only things that are lamaisa, things that are in this world, things that are gashmi, things that are concrete. That's also Rabbi Shua. So he could have this fusion of eating and drinking and learning and davening together. Fine, that's just the background. So then the Gemara says that although that's the case in general, chatzi lachem, chatzi lachem, so the Amar Rebbe Elazar, hakom modum, when it comes to atzeres, be'inen nami lachem, everybody agrees you need an element of lachem as well. You need to have a suda. Even Rabbi Eliezer would agree to that. Rabbi says, "Akol moldim by Shabbos, you need an element of lachem." It says, "Vekarasa l'Shabbos oneg." And then finally, Amar of Yosef. Rav Yosef says, we could say that's perhaps a reference to the Yosef Yeshiva. They "Akol moldim b'Purim d'va'inan nami lachem." That when it comes to Purim, everyone requires lachem. My taima d'mei mishta v'simcha k'siv bei. In other words, you need this element of Nami Lachem, because we can't really have this split of Chatzi Lashem, Chatzi Lachem, perms a day of almost Kulu Lachem. The whole day is just eating and drinking. And we touch upon this with the Yid HaKadosh about the days of the week in Purim and Yom Kippur, the obvious contrast between Purim and Yom Kippur, where Yom Kippur is Kulu Lashem, and Purim is Kulu Lachem. It's a day we're able to elevate the Gashmias. We remove ourselves. Yom Kippur, we don't touch anything, but Purim is even a higher level. The Svarim talk about that you could engage in the eating and drinking, you could engage in the Gashmias, in the Lachem, and elevate it. And there's not this divide. Amalek felt there are two different worlds. There's a Yud-Kei represents Hashem's up in Shemayim. Vav-Hei represents HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ba'aretz. They're two different worlds. It's the complete split. But the Purim is where we're seeing the fusion of them together, and that's why it's Kul Lachem. You have to eat and drink and elevate that with the Kedusha. Okay, on that note, you guys have spent this month, which was supposed to be a Kulu Lachem type of week of Ben Ezmanim, you guys turned this into a Kulu Lashem, into a complete Ruchni, which is an incredible thing. And in the zechus of you guys spending so many hours, your time off to learn, and not doing other things, not that those are wrong, but doing it in a healthy way, it should be a big zechus for you guys. You should continue to grow in your learning, your avoda, and you should all be blessed with both ruchnius and gashmius.